You're listening to The Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt.
Welcome to today's episode, ladies and gentlemen. We have one of our dear friends, Jason Godwin, or Deanie. Deanie, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me back.
Why do they call you Deanie?
Man, I think I told that story last time. Basically,
oh,
I know how to fold a burrito, and I'm white as hell.
I thought it was because you're very, very sneaky.
He is very sneaky, but that's the reason why, the reason why we became dear friends is because he was the first, and this is going to sound very racist, but this was the first, he was the first white guy I knew that could fold a burrito in enchilada like style, like really well, and it blew my mind. Because I, and this was like when I was 15, so my eyes were closed to the world. I didn't know there were other people that I knew how to fold burritos that were not Mexican or any Latin descent. Anyway.
I mean, I was a 14-year-old who knew how to fold a burrito, let's be honest.
It's pretty impressive. So I was,
he knew how
that's
to
how
fold
we became
a
friends. Yeah. But the reason why I call him Deanie is because he would sneak and all of a sudden you'd look to your left, it wouldn't be there. You look to your right for 5 seconds, look back, and all of a sudden he disappeared. Or he'd just come out of trees and bushes out of nowhere. I'm like, you're like a goddamn Houdini.
You guys ever seen, what's that movie with like Chevy Chase that, he's like the golfing movie, Caddyshack.
Oh, Caddyshack.
You ever seen Caddyshack? And, the Bill Murray character is like trying to catch a gopher the whole time. And he like comes out of the trees with like the floppy hat and like two sticks on it. That's what I'm picturing. Deanie just appearing to the side of you like...
Yeah, it makes sense though.
Pretty close to what happened a few times.
Hey, so, Jimmy. Like, what the fuck?
So, Deanie, I have for you today proper brewing beers. So, I don't know if you're familiar with proper brewing out of Salt Lake, but are you familiar with proper brewing?
Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with proper brewing. I've been there once right before COVID happened, and I've had a few of their beers. I'm excited to try some of these though because they look amazing.
Yeah, so I put in front of you the I got a Pilsner, their American Pilsner, then I have their award-winning Golden Ale, then I have their Goza, and then I have a Hazy IPA that you can get at the local grocery store.
Oh, no kidding.
These are all session beers, so you can get these anytime, anywhere. For the most part, obviously, my choice is to go to Harmon's. Harmon's usually has the best selection of local craft beer and foreign beers. Like Wyatt and I went there one time, and there was beers from India.
Yeah,
a lot of UK beers.
There was like just beers from countries that I didn't know made beers. There was like three Azerbaijani beers, and I was like, I don't even know where is Azerbaijan.
But I mean, that's pretty cool. Anyway,
just north of Iraq by the Caspian Sea. By the way, I looked it up because I was curious.
There you go.
They can make beer there.
Let's see. So I want to start off with the Beckerman one. So Wyatt, if you will, please pour us and read us that one.
Oh, yeah,
American
of course.
Pilsner.
Of course. You know, one thing I really love about these, I mean, a lot of things I love about the proper brewing cans, really. Like, there's always a story about it. And I like to read the can while I'm drinking beer or while I'm talking on a podcast, whatever. There's like a little scale, like a flavor profile scale that says like how hoppy or malty or bitter, sour, fruity, sweetie, sweet.
I like that, yeah.
There you go.
How sweet it's going to be, sweetie. And then also it tells you what kind of glass to serve it in.
Yeah, which is super cool.
So, yeah. You know what kind of glass you should serve the Beckerman's Brew Pilsner in? Please take a gander. Deanie?
That's a pint?
Good guess. David?
Stan's glass.
Ah, no, it's a Pilsner glass. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Of course.
Of course.
Jeez.
Well, I do call it proper for one reason. They've got to educate you on it, right?
Yeah. Very proper.
Proper way to drink a beer.
I feel like I should be wearing a scarf, maybe.
Possibly. It makes sense. Yeah. But, so, this one, their American Pilsner. This one, the reason why this one caught my eye is this one had Real Salt Lake players, Kyle Beckerman. I don't know. Are you guys familiar with soccer at all, Real Salt Lake?
That's the one where they kick the ball, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I've heard of what country you're in, but no.
So, Beckerman is... one of the greatest, I mean, in my opinion, he's well known in Utah. He's the guy with dreads. Well, had dreads, I guess. And on Monday, December 21st, he announced his retirement from soccer. The midfielder, Kyle Beckerman, announced after 21 seasons, he started playing as age 18 for his soccer. Mm-hmm. He just announced his retirement. He used to have awesome dreads. He cut it, I think, two seasons ago or last season. He looks like a nice, well-groomed old man now, but he pretty awesome. He made an appearance in the World Cup in 2014. He won Gold Cup for the 2009, 13, and 2015. He was named the MVP at the Gold Cup final. He ended up winning a title with Real Salt Lake. So it's pretty cool. He's got a, you know, nice resume behind him. And I remember meeting him at UVU. He came and saw the girls' soccer team, and he was just coming to say hi and hang out and chill, and all the girls got pictures with him. And, like, the guy, he's a massive human being. Like, he's a tall dude.
Really?
And that's he's awesome. Super chill.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't know that he's damn good with his legs, I guess. But, I mean, he's
just
really cool.
His legs, Dave?
Just
his legs.
I think so. But, you know, he had a passion for the game, and I remember seeing him. I remember going to a Real Salt Lake game, and you could not check out the guy with dreads running around. Like, it just kind of stuck out.
Were you in the stands like, David, remember me? We met at UVU.
I saw him play before I met him.
Ah.
But anyway, so thank you, Kyle Beckerman, for all those Real Salt Lake games. We, you know,
21 years
giving
with
us
Real
a
Salt
championship
Lake.
In Salt Lake, and
that's commitment.
And this, you know, Proper Boy came out and made this beer, but I think it has a saying on the back.
Oh yeah, I could read it.
Please,
unless David
I was admiring the artwork because of the.
It's nice.
You can
artwork.
See the dreads going into the lion's mane, and I think that's really kind of beautiful.
Yeah,
pretty badass.
And there's like the Real Salt Lake shield. He's a handsome looking man, just based on this little silhouette.
There's a reason why all the ladies liked him. He was a good looking guy. I guess he is a good looking guy.
Do you want to read it?
Sure.
You got a nice Dungeon Master's voice. I think you could really.
Beckman's Brew flavor profile. Oh my goodness gracious! This has a lot of information. Mm-hmm. We're proper soccer fans here at the brewery, so the honor for us to team up with Real Salt Lake captain, USMNS team member, the World Cup veteran Kyle Beckerman. This refreshing game day lager takes a smart, tactical approach by controlling the middle of the field between flavor and drinkability.
Ah, because he's a midfielder.
Yeah, that's actually pretty smart. While malts from Idaho and Germany set the crisp, crackling tempo, just enough bite from Mount Hood hops keep things interesting. Perfect for the tailgate during the match. A toast to victory.
There you go. So there you guys, prost, gentlemen. So the American Pilsner, Breckerman's Brew, 4%. I mean, how familiar are you guys with Pilsners?
I love Pilsners.
I've tried a fair few.
So, what do you guys think about this one?
Basically what you want from a Pilsner. It's a little maltier than I expected out of a Pilsner, honestly. But
it is a little malty.
Yeah,
I think it's a little degraded. I think the hops degrade a little
bit. Yeah, they've degraded. Because are you getting a little bit of butyric acid there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's because this was canned, I believe. If I'm looking at the bottom of the can, I think it said August.
Ooh.
But it's really hard to see. But anyway, I think the hops have degraded just a little bit. So this is, I think this will be coming off fresh. Like if this was fresh off tap, this would be beautiful.
That's probably why the malt character seems stronger, is because those hops are degraded.
I think the hops are degraded, and I'm getting that little diapery-ish taste. Just a little bit, but I mean,
that's
crushable.
I mean, any Pilsner you buy from the grocery store, for the most part, it's going to taste kind of like that. Like it's got that classic old grocery store Pilsner flavor.
You're right.
And I think that's why they call it the American Pilsner, is because it's just the old grocery store Pilsner flavor. Yeah.
I like this. And it's not as bitter as I thought it would be, but it's still pretty good.
So we...
There is a little bitterness there, and I think it's like a malt bitterness. I really do.
That's what it tastes like it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. But how enjoyable... I mean, will you guys crush this on a daily... I mean, daily basis. Would you guys crush this...
right now, yeah.
No.
I mean, sounds good, though. I mean, I like the corn. I get a little corn off of it.
Yeah.
And I've been drinking a lot of Pilsner or Quells lately. When Pilsner... I mean, Czech Pilsner. That's where, like, Pilsner's originated. And I like... That's like the best. And I was talking to Derek the other day. Like that's like one of the most staple Pilsners of all time, right?
Yeah.
And I'm now starting to base Pilsners off that profile. And I think all Pilsners, in my opinion, I need a little funkiness to it, right? And that's why they have the green bottles. And the UV light will give it a little skunky funkiness. I like that, though.
Yeah.
I like the funkiness in a Pilsner.
Like a classic Heineken kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. But pretty easy, pretty enjoyable.
That's really good.
Yeah.
It's very simple. High up there on the crushability because I drink it and it makes me want to drink more.
Yeah. I'm pretty thirsty and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to just start drinking more of this.
That's the thing about going back to, you know, drinking craft beer is you want to be able to have another one.
I didn't realize I was thirsty before I took a sip of this.
I think it made me thirsty.
I think so. Yeah.
So Proper Brewing out of Salt Lake has, the Avenue's Proper Restaurant and Public House. Proper Burger, Craft by Proper, and Stratford Proper, which is like the fancy-dancy, like, five-star dining of proper. So proper is pretty cool. They're unique. The tap rooms are really cool.
Is it five star?
I don't know about five star, but they have those high end chefs that I always see them posting like these fancy bougie dinners over there.
I mean, it's not like a cheap place to go.
No, not at all.
It's pretty good.
Have you guys been to proper at all or the tap rooms?
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got the, what's the one called that's right by the, like across that little canyon from the Capitol building? Is that the Avenues?
Yeah, proper? Avenues. Proper?
We've been to that one a few times.
I'm almost certain I've been to one with you.
Proper Burger.
So that was the Craft by Proper. So that's the one that had a bunch of taps. And the cool thing about Proper is they will go out and grab a keg from like all these breweries, local breweries, and then have it on tap. So they have like, I believe, 30 taps.
Wow.
I think. But it's at a guest bar? At their bar. Yeah.
That's the one that's by like the McLaren dealership.
There's one, I think, by the McLaren, but there's one right across the street from Hopkins. Oh. Like right across the street, Craft by Proper. And
And
it
Sugar
had,
House.
It has, yeah. And it has about, I want to say 20, 25, 30 taps. And it has it has tap from TF, has one from Hopkins, has one from Bewilder, has one from Strap Tank. They have the garage rod up there, you know, the Pale Ale. So it's really cool because you can go in there to one location and try beer from almost anywhere in Utah. It's really cool. I like that system they have there.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, this one, I like this. Pilsner Urquell was one of the, you know, OGs. Pilsner Urquell is described to have like a spiciness, tanginess to it. But this one has more of a cask-like flavor to it. Like that kind of, you said malty? Like that malt musk.
A little more malt. You get more malt on the nose. I get a little bit of like tropical hop there, but
I don't get a lot of spice.
But typically, pilsners are served with Saaz hops, and that's typically a Czech hop. And so
this one didn't have Saaz, you said?
Doesn't have Saaz, yeah.
It said Idaho and Germany hops or something like that.
So I'm curious to see what they're trying to go with that one. But anyway, fascinating. Mm. I'm glad you guys enjoyed that one, though.
Yeah.
What's, Dini, in front of you, you have a nice plethora of beers. Which one do you think sounds intriguing to you?
Intriguing? Just because I love the style, the Goza is interesting to me.
Ah, the Goza.
But if you want to go off of the one that catch me the most, you got one that says Blizzard Wizard. So,
And can we talk about Blizzard Wizard real quick?
Sure.
So there's something about you, Dini, that you secretly are very, very intelligent and very creative.
You hide it really well.
Really well. Hence the name Dini.
Wow. Very intelligent.
Okay, thanks. I'm an idiot unless I start talking.
But you are a dungeon master.
I am a dungeon master.
So tell us and those folks at home what a dungeon master is.
I play D&D.
What is D&D besides Satan's game?
Besides Satan's game? No, it's kosher now, actually. You know, we don't care who we praise to. It's Dungeons & Dragons, the tabletop RPG playing game where a bunch of people sit at a table and get together and roleplay fictional characters that they've created at their leisure. And they, we get to know each other. There's a lot of team building and a lot of it's one of my favorite games because it teaches people how to interact with challenges and really it does team build. Like you heard of all those like cope courses and those where people come in and you have those giant corporate meetings and they teach you guys all how to like team build and everything like that. Really when it comes down to it is it's a fun game to play with people you either don't know or want to know.
Yeah. So I remember one of my first experiences with you playing that, you asked me, I'll never forget this. You asked me, hey, I need a favor from you. I haven't told you this story either. Why? This is a good story. So all of a sudden, Dini, you know, out of nowhere, he's like, and he's not one to text me like, hey, I need help with something. Okay. So, you know, he calls me and he's like, hey, I need a favor. And I'm sitting here like, oh shit, I got to go bail him out of jail. Like, what the hell? If he's calling me, there must be something important, right? And so I'm like, sure, man, yeah, whatever you need. Like, what can I'm ready to, you know, throw out some cash to get him out of jail, right?
Yeah. Why did you automatically assume that Dini was in jail?
Because he's frivolously always getting into trouble.
It's really
well, back in the day.
Yes,
you don't strike me as the kind of
back
guy
in the day.
I have been shot at, sir.
This is true.
What?
Yeah, yes. I have. Not for like any valid reasons. More like doing something really stupid as a teenager.
You were like sneaking out of some girl's window, and her dad was like, "Get up, I'm out of here."
Funny you say that.
no. What?
No, but, you know, so that was my first thought, unfortunately. And he's like, hey, I need you to come play D&D. And I show the record scratch. Wait, what? He's like, yeah, D&D. And I go, like, Dungeons and Dragons? He goes, yeah. And I just, in my head, I closed my eyes and I just went, God damn it. All right. What's up? He's like, hey, just listen. You know how we've been dissing on it for years? And I go, yeah, we would make fun of these people, these if you will, nerds at these comic book stores and playing
Comic Cons.
Yeah. And so, you know, I'm like, you know, he's like, hey, I just need you to come. Just try it out once. I promise. Just come with an open mind for the love of God. I'm like, all right. So I did. So I walk in there. And it is exactly what you think it is. It's
100%.
100%. Like,
were you dressed up like a wizard? No, robot?
No. I guess not that far.
Okay.
Okay, maybe not 100%.
But, you know, you walk in, it was like a dank comic book store. I walk in, the guy's like, are you here to quest? And I just, in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, what did I get into? And he just points that way. Because Jason came with his wife. And
are you here to quest?
If you know his wife is an Amazonian woman. Like, she's a bigger girl, very, you know, athletic. She's, you know, she's gorgeous, right? And so, like, I'm looking for my buddy and his wife. And he immediately, because there's no other females in this entire building. And he goes, ah, downstairs. They know exactly. Because she's hard to miss.
She has a presence.
And so I walk downstairs to the creaky ass, you know, stairs. I go downstairs. And there she's like hordes of nerds just around these, making these things. And I get down there and like, I'm trying so hard that they're all playing in their characters, right? And whatever character they have made, like they are devoted to that character. They are talking about it. They won't.
You would be.
And so I'm just trying my hardest, like figure out like what the hell does this mean? Whatever. I did the basic whatever.
A lot of numbers.
So my favorite was anytime this dungeon master would say something, he'd go, "Roll for me," and that was like the quote of the night, like "Roll for me." You know, that's what it is. And so you get these like 10-sided dice, 12-sided dice, 20?
It goes up to 20.
20. Yeah. Anyway, you need to start 10, rolling 12, 20, these, right?
8, 4.
And we had fun. Six. I had fun.
Yeah.
I truly had fun, yeah. It was because I gave in. Because at first I was like, I'm not doing this. It's stupid. But I gave in. I wanted to play. But if you can kind of, if you will, it's like reading a book. You ever escaped into a book?
Yeah.
Right? And you just kind of like, it's like a runner's high, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I gave in, and I had a fun time. And I'd make my like little jokes here and there, because there's one part, I remember I was like some spy or something, a thief or something. And the guy's like, you're going to reach into the wall and grab whatever may be in there. And I'm like, I reach in, but with my left hand, right? In case like somehow like my left hand got chopped off or something. And they all looked at me like, stupid idiot. Like, what the hell?
No,
and
that's
like,
smart.
And
man,
the guy started laughing. He's like, okay, because it was funny. He chose not to like inflict damage on me or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I thought I'm right-handed dominantly, and my character was, and I am. So if I lost my left hand, I still have little daggers I can stab you with, right? Yeah. Anyway, so after going that, I came back home, and Holly's like, how was that? And I go, well, actually, I had a good time.
It was so much fun.
And I didn't say it was so much fun. I'm like, I had a good time. And she goes, are you going to go back again? I go, probably in a couple of years. Because it was like a one-and-done thing for me.
Let it air out.
Anyway, so now we have the Blizzard Wizard Hazy Pale Ale. So what do you guys think about it?
Gonna try.
It's tropical on the nose. Wyatt's already tasted it and is giving me the mouth of death.
What's the mouth of death?
I don't know.
Is that a D&D thing?
D&D thing.
Roll for me.
Dude, D&D's a fun game.
I do enjoy it, yes.
Love playing D&D. Obviously, this rolled a one.
Yeah, this is no bueno.
Yeah.
This is butyric out the ass.
I'm not getting a lot of.
Oh.
It tastes
bad.
Like a perfumed diaper.
I wonder when was this can, Wyatt?
Oh, wait.
It's on the bottom of the.
What kind of glass does this get served in?
Well, it's called the Blizzard Wizard, so Blizzard it's awfully. Wizard.
So the Blizzard IPA glass.
Potion bottle, of course.
Potion bottle? Yeah. Good guess. I was going to. I was expecting tankard from your direction, but.
Yeah.
David?
The Blizzard Wizard IPA glass.
You were almost right. You were mostly right. It's an IPA glass. Mm-hmm. That's what the Blizzard Wizard gets served in.
But what are you guys seeing on this one?
Oh, not good. Not good. Tastes like old tacos.
I'm not a huge IPA person, but this doesn't want me to try any more IPAs.
I think you nailed it with Perfumey. Why? It's just like lingering in my mouth, and it tastes like a dirty diaper.
Yeah, just let me get some more of that Beckerman's brew so I can wash this.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
We're just gonna.
Unfortunately, but I think it's side. Because okay. I honestly think it's because you're going to the store. You know, I don't know how it's taken care of. I don't think this beer does it justice. I think they probably released a good one. I'm assuming off draft, like always. But
October.
See, this is brewed. This was canned in October. It is now. The last week in December. So this is a bit old.
Yeah. Since it was canned the third week of October, I think. I think that's what it was. it's hard to read, but yeah, I'd put it at 9 weeks, and hops usually start to degrade anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks. So, and that's if they're well taken care of. So
unfortunately, this one, you know, I don't know, it has a cool label. It's got like the weirdest label. It's like if a World of Warcraft label was slapped onto there. It's pretty cool. Dini is, you know, being mesmerized by the label.
I am just admiring the can work.
Yeah. But I mean, unfortunately, I think that the Idaho 7 hops, that's what they claim they use on this one. And no bueno.
Those hops suck.
Apparently. Well, let's move on to another one.
It's old. I mean, it's nine weeks old.
I want to try this goes. This Goza. The Goza L with cardamom or coriander and salt. So I was doing a little research on the Berliner Weisse and Gozas. So they're typically a German wheat ale, right?
A wheat ale?
Yeah, that's what they're classified as. Classified as. Yeah, German wheat ales. Berliner Weissens are bright, sharp tartness, and they're Napoleon called the champagne of Berlin's Weiss beers.
The champagne of beers.
Mm-hmm. So the Goza is basically kind of the cousin brother of it, and it's a complex tipple and a wheatier, saltier, less tart than the Berliner Weisse. So it's in the same, I guess, style, flavor. If you will. Yeah. So in my readings, I was reading how Gozas are typically 4 to 6% ABV, 5 to 10% IBUs, and Berliner Weisse are 3 to 4% ABV with 5% IBUs or 5 IBUs, excuse me, and it's really cool because in the Gozas, the typical Goza has the wheat ale spread with coriander and sea salt. So I think they are trying to completely mimic the OG. So I had this the other night, and I know Wyatt and I tried the Lay Effect, which was
pink and fruity.
Yeah, it was the Goza with passion fruit and guava. And we weren't really a fan of that one, right?
I like that one a lot.
I didn't like that one. However, the cool thing about this one is Gozas typically are they have a bottle and they have that long, slender neck. And when they're finished fermenting, the hop and yeast sediment at the very top would basically make its own cork.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
I've had one of these before, and I remember the place I had it from, they were very heavily commenting about how it was a salted beer.
Yeah.
And how that they had used that kind of aspect and taste into it.
So I think Wyatt and I, in our research the last time we tried one of these, is they used actual salt from the Great Salt Lake, I believe.
In this, they did.
They did?
In the traditional Goza.
Oh, yeah, not traditional Goza.
The salt got into the beer because the salt was just in the water, like in the well that they were getting water from or something like that. The first time I tried this actual beer, it was way too salty, and I like salty stuff.
Yeah.
But then the Lake Effect was so good. So, I don't know.
The Lay Effect?
Yeah, Lay Effect. That's it. Lay, about Lake Effect. Lake Effect is a tribute to Randall Pink Floyd, the legendary rogue flamingo.
Ah.
Is there a flamingo? He's not pink.
It's a blue can.
It's a blue one.
Well, yeah, but the flamingo's white. Someone get a Sharpie. We can fix this. A pink Sharpie, obviously. That resided at the Great Salt Lake. He lived at the Great Salt Lake. There was a legendary rogue flamingo that lived at the Great Salt Lake. A single.
Just one.
I mean, that would probably catch someone's attention, yeah.
Do you think he was a dual-wielding rogue, or was like a ranged rogue, maybe?
Aarakocra, probably.
Yeah, Aarakocra. That makes sense, yeah. And, well, yeah, obviously an Aarakocra.
Yeah, you'd have to. No one's going to get that joke except for Y and R.
No, it's over my head. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. A bird person.
For all you D&D listeners out there, I'll be a crazy Aarakocra flamingo Aarakocra. Can we play D&D and I'll make a flamingo Aarakocra? That'll be great. An archaic German style ale brewed with over 50% wheat, coriander, and local salt. Argosa has a unique flavor profile, unfiltered with a creamy yellow color. This wheat ale is full-bodied with a floral spice character, while sour, tangy, and extra refreshing at the same time. You gotta drink what Randall Pink Floyd wants to drink.
I like this one.
The first sip, I did not like it, and then I took a second one and a half, and I'm like, oh, no, that actually absolutely does grow on you.
You get a fair amount of coriander on the nose.
So for those who don't know or are familiar with coriander, coriander always best put this for my palate is Fruity Pebbles.
Really?
Has like a Fruity Pebble kind of that fruity nose and that taste. It reminds me of just smelling a bag of Fruity Pebbles.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't coriander like the seeds from cilantro? Is that? That sounds wrong, right?
That does sound wrong. It might be right, but it sounds...
Coriander is a spice produced from a round, tan-colored seeds. Let's see. That's all it says. Oh. From Chinese parsley.
Chinese parsley. Not cilantro. Parsley. Yeah.
Or cilantro.
Or
fucking cilantro. Or dahani. D-H-A-N-I-A. Dahania.
Dahania.
But anyway, yeah, coriander. But for me, I get that kind of fruity pebbleness to it. Yeah. I think I would like a touch more salt. It's salty beer.
It is.
I would like a touch more salt.
Yeah.
I like the coriander on it, but I think this is not crushable. I think I would have a pint of this and then I'd feel done. I feel like acid reflux may kick in kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's really? Like, to me, it's kind of, I think it's a little harsh of a beer.
See, this is the kind of beer that like I could drink on a pool deck, you know, like hot sun.
Oh, definitely a summer beer.
Yeah. I want salty liquids. Is that weird? Like,
I mean, no? You mean like by the salty sea? Salty beer, or are we talking like lakes?
Or a pool, or, you know, wherever you are that's hot. Yeah. But like, I want, salt is like really hydrating, which is weird because most people are like, oh, watch your sodium intake and eat too much salt.
It helps you.
Yeah. It's
like keep the hydration in your body, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It, I mean, increases blood volume and it allows you to hold on to like the liquid. God, I can't think today. In fact, last episode we talked about why beer is healthy, some ways that beer is healthy, specifically non-alcoholic beer, and one of the biggest reasons is it has a pretty high sodium content, and that combined with the carbohydrates and the, you know, H2O allows you to hold on to water. You retain that water better, and people are like, oh, I retain water. I'm like, that's a good thing. You want to retain. We need water. We're like 90% water. If you don't retain water, you die. Yeah, so
raising it out.
Yeah. I measure out how much salt I eat a day, and it's like minimum of 5 grams, which is five times the recommended dose from the American Heart Association.
So this is like, I know I've heard people do like little studies on like harder liquors and stuff like that, and how some are better for you to drink and you're going to have less of a hangover, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But like the idea behind like a gose or something with higher sodium or salted beer, it'd probably be better for you to kind of drink a little bit more compared to something that might be a little bit heavier. That'd be kind of an interesting thing to learn about.
Be good, like a little study to do on that one.
Yeah.
Because typically in my readings, I saw that, you know, Berliner Weiss and Gose style beers typically have a lot of lactic acid in it. And I don't know how good lactic acid is for the body. I'm not sure. I don't know that. I'll look into that.
I mean, that's what makes your muscles feel sore. Right, is
when they produce lactic acid.
When you work out, it tears the muscles a little bit. You get small tears, and it stresses the muscles, and they're like they need to rebuild. That's what makes you get bigger and stronger and faster. But your body to protect those muscles from being used and moved around while they're injured because they're a little torn up, it puts lactic acid in there, and so like you get really stiff. And so, like, if you're sore, like, my hamstrings are sore right now, like, good luck touching my toes because I've got lactic acid buildup, so it's going to keep them from stretching. Mm. But I don't know.
It's fascinating. It'd be interesting. I mean, I know for the Gose, interesting fact from this one is Gose is essentially a class of its own. Perhaps a Gose's or Gose's. Remember the other? What's that, the other one?
Gose, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are the related beers. They don't quite, some of them are lambics or Berliner Weiss, like the same category, but they're all in different categories. Sour beers like Tart Flanders ales and American Wilds ales are only distant related or related or nevertheless worth exploring because sometimes people are like, yeah, the wild ones are weird. Like if you ever had a wild strain ale, Yeah. Who knows what you're going to get, yeah, right?
It's kind of a shot in the dark.
But, yeah. Denny, what do you think about this one? Would you be able to drink this, you know, like order one?
I would want to order one for sure. This one I think is good. I'd probably order it and, you know, remember, oh, yeah, I really want a good one with proper. It's, I think I'm in the same realm you are. I think I could drink one and be sufficient.
Right.
You know, move on to the next thing. Not saying it's bad at all, but definitely saying, you know, if I had a thirst for this, I would get it.
I'm with Y on this one, where I think the nice scenario for this one is a pool, summer pool, and drinking that would be really cool. I mean, it's only 5% or 4%, so it's not hella, you know, ABVE. But, Denny, I had some questions for you. 2021 is here, or coming about here, right? And I want to know...
When this comes out, it'll be here.
Yeah, I just want to know, Denny, what are some goals for you personally in 2021?
Personally for 2021, I want to go back and whatever the new normal is, hopefully that comes out, you know, patent pending next year. I want to go out and reclaim this last year. I want to go out and do things that I should have done this last year. I want to live a little bit more, you know, see people I haven't seen forever. I want to travel, do some traveling. I've had to cancel some traveling plans for that. Also, one thing I've been trying to get into is, I mean, we're both touched 30 now, so I would like to get back into the outdoorsy part that we grew up in. I like to go camping more. I'd like to actually be outside. Utah is a beautiful state, and I sometimes forget that it's a 5-minute drive and I'm up the mountain.
Yeah, sometimes you don't, I mean, a lot of people who travel outside of Utah and come here, they're like, how the fuck you have these mountains, are so cool. And I forget to think, you know, you walk outside and you don't think every day, oh fuck, there's mountains outside, they're so cool. No, but sometimes I'll find myself driving and I'll look up and be like, oh damn, this is a cool place. And the mountains are great, the winters are beautiful.
That majesty and mystery of the mountains, they're so close at hand and they're accessible all the time, and like, you just get used to it. It becomes normal.
Unfortunately, huh?
Yeah.
But when you travel outside of Utah, for me anyway, I'm like, where's my mountains?
Yeah,
where
are
my
super
mountains?
Like,
oh, those are mountains. Those are hills.
Ooh. Yeah. Like, does it just keep going? You're
exactly.
Like, where am I looking?
And I like that, Daniel. What about you?
How do you gauge direction on like, in like Kansas? Right? You're like, well, let's see. What direction? Where's
the sun? Where's the moon? Because
like, I use the mountains as like that's how I tell what direction I'm facing, right? Because most valleys here run north to south, and so like, you know, pick one and you're gonna be 50% correct. And then if you're smart enough to look at the sun and say, okay, well, the sun's a little lower on this side, and that's like odds are the south side is gonna be closer to the sun than the north side, right? Oh, yeah. So like, pretty easy to figure out direction here.
We're pretty
in Kansas, and you're like,
pretty lucky with us. I mean, we got Utah Lake right there too, so it's like, okay, is that the lake or is there a mountain? That's clearly a mountain.
We have a West Mountain in this, or a mountain in this valley called West Mountain. So if you're like, huh, I wonder what direction I'm facing. Let's see. Well, there's West Mountain.
So north.
Yeah.
I like that though. Going back outdoors, kind of like you live here, you should be able to appreciate you living here. That's really cool.
I mean, half the time we talk about these beers, we talk about enjoying them somewhere.
Yeah.
I'd like to do that again.
You want
to
go backpacking?
Sure.
What are you doing next week?
I have not freezing to death.
Well, I mean, we can go south.
Okay, sure. I mean, one thing that I've always wanted to do, and I keep talking about this, I've talked about this since, I don't know, I was 22. We wanted to do a rafting trip down Green River.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be really fun.
Like a 3-day, 4-day rafting trip, and we just... Life happens sometimes, and, you know, bring a case of beer, bring all your friends.
Yeah.
Have a camp out on a beach somewhere.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
I've never done, like rafted, like, you know, because, I mean, you go, like, a few hundred miles, right? You spend the whole day on the raft for the most part.
Yeah.
I've gone whitewater rafting a lot, but it's always, like...
It's very quick.
Like,
and
yeah, like, 10 miles down, and you hit a bunch of rapids, and then you throw the raft on the truck, and you drive back up, and...
Yeah.
Do it again.
And we go tubing every year for Dob's birthday. So it's that, but it's personified. It's that long distance. It's that, like, just, I mean, what do we always say when we're on the river? The river decides.
The river decides.
Yeah. We've lost some things. Mm-hmm. Occasionally people, but we usually find those. But it's that idea of, like, I don't know, going back to a very lesser version of man versus nature, where you're just out there in the middle of nature and you're just looking to have a good time but experience what nature really is.
I kind of miss that sometimes. As long as it's not cold, I miss that. Holly and I had this conversation the other day. We would like to go outside more, but for some reason when it gets cold, we're just a bunch of wusses and we just don't like going outside.
Layers.
Unfortunately.
It's not cold anymore.
Then it gets too hot, and you have to carry the layers, and then you bitch about it. And for me, this is just
when's the last time you slept in an igloo that you made by yourself?
Jesus, when I was like 14, 15, pass.
I've never slept in an igloo. I've made snow caves.
What are you doing next week?
But apparently building an igloo.
There you go.
Do you like? I've never built an igloo, but I've always wanted to. Do you really like shape blocks and stack them? Because I've dug snow caves into like snow berms and shit like that. But
what we did is we got a board, and we would use the board as kind of like that background, and you'd build the snow off the board, and you kind of like angle it and then build and pack it down and then continue and then eventually dome out. That's how we built ours. I don't know if there's a proper way to do it.
Did you build a chimney onto it? Or
I was, again, around that 14-year-old, so I don't think I was smart enough to structure a chimney out of snow.
Yeah.
But we could try.
We, when I was a kid, we'd do like the Klondike campouts, right? And it was always, there was like, I didn't even realize until I was an adult when people were talking about like going on their Klondike, to the Klondike Jamborees and shit like that. I was like, I remember we called ours Klondike Jamborees, but we always decided to just do our own thing instead of go to where all the other like kids were doing their Klondike stuff.
Big giant social group of people you don't even know and they're just making noise in the background.
Yeah, and so we would like go and we would go to like the same area a lot of times. But then we would just go do our own thing. And a lot of it was like we'd build snow caves and we would build like sleds and we'd find a hill and we'd sled down the hill all day. And we did the polar bear plunge. And
you have that one friend that kind of showed up with like the board that wasn't really a snowboard, but had like straps to it. And you'd like try and go down and, you know, whatever looked the most dangerous. Time.
Yeah. Or like we would show up and like our sleds would break and then we'd be like, okay, where's the trash bags? And like, keep going. Yeah. Building jumps and stuff. And it was good times.
But it was.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't been camping in the snow in a long time. I'd like to do that again.
That's one big thing I'd like to do again is go experience nature, have some friends, have some beers, have some life experiences, really. Yeah. I think that's one thing that everyone's kind of missing this year, being stuck at their house inside, is they're not getting a lot of life experiences.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys sharing that. That's pretty cool. I say we end on this last beer. I'm really excited to talk about this one. I've been wanting to talk about this one for a while. This year in the GABF, the Great American Beer Festival, 2020, Utah brought home three medals. Proper Brewing brought a gold with their English ale and the English ale with their English style golden ale in the English ale category, which had 93 entries. They took gold. That's all I gotta say. And this one we're opening up right now. The other two, if you guys are curious, are the Keller Beer or the Zwickel Beer category. The Keller Beer from TF Brewing. They had 71 entries, and they took bronze, I believe. And then Grid City came out with their Honey Cream Ale out of 72 entries, and they got a bronze out of that one in the Honey Beer category.
Wow.
That one would have taken gold if it was a nitro. I'm without a doubt can say that. They would take gold. It's that good.
That does sound like an amazing beer.
But I'm very impressed. Proper doesn't get, you know, Grid City's blowing up. Not even a year old. They have that bronze medal. TF has had a couple medals. And this one, you know, they finally got, and their Keller beer is damn good. And they got the bronze. Hopefully it could take gold that soon. But Proper came out, you know, with 93 entries. And they took gold with a Sessions beer. Like, that's what kills me. 93 entries. And they got this. And this is cool. Like, this is really amazing. I haven't had this one yet, actually.
Really?
So I was really curious to see what you guys thought, and I don't know what you guys think about it, but here we go, right?
This was one of the first craft, like, there are a few beers I can say are like, oh, this is one of the first craft beers I had. You know, like, Cutthroat was the first. Full Suspension was up there, and this one was one of the, it was like the first time I went to a craft brewery.
Oh,
I went
really? To That's really cool.
Proper Burger, which isn't like a brewery, but craft beer place, right?
Yeah.
And it was a Proper Burger, and we got a picture of this. Because I was like, wait, they don't have PBR? What do you drink?
I think my first entry was kind of weird. I was over at a buddy's house during like Halloween, and he's like, hey, have you ever tried Wasatch's beers? And I went, no. So he gave me like one of their apricot ales, and he gave me one of his pumpkin ales. And I'm still never a big fan of pumpkin, so that put me off to beer pretty quick.
Yeah.
So it took me a while to get back into the swing of things just because I was like, this it's a pumpkin-y beer. This is weird.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I agree.
Then I found Baba. Then I found that Cutthroat that you mentioned, and I was like, oh,
Cutthroat.
Yeah. Baba took me a while. That one took a while to get to. Baba. I was afraid of dark beers for a while, man. I really was.
Polygamy Porter is still one of my favorite beers to this day.
Yeah, that's a good one. What do you guys think about this one? Beautiful golden color, by the way.
Before we go on, what glass do you serve the Goza in?
A Stance glass.
Yeah.
I think it's Stange.
Stange.
A Stange.
It's a long, just like a cylinder.
It's a long glass.
Cylinder.
Long cylinder.
What do you guys think about this one?
Long cylinder.
Gorgeous golden. I love the color. Like, it's just golden, beautiful.
What glass do you serve this beer in? The proper golden ale.
Would you do a pale ale glass? Or it's got to be something with...
What's a pale ale glass?
I think it's called...
It's like a teardrop-ish. It has an edge on it. It looks like a fermenter to me.
Tulip, almost?
Or a brown ale glass. It's just like a pint glass.
I don't think brown ale glass is the thing either.
It should be.
Mm. Well, I think it you serve this in a shaker pint, which is... There are two types of shaker pints. Well, really three. There's like the shaker pint that you shake with, obviously.
Yeah.
You've got your British pint, and then you've got your Irish pint.
So is this like the
Irish pint
or
the ones that like... You don't have that nice like curve, right? It's like a Pilsner glass, but wider. And then
like a Guinness glass.
Yeah. A Guinness glass, exactly.
Is this one a little bit more of the...
I think that's what you're imagining is the
English. You drink like a... I've been sort of like Stella's and stuff in these glasses before.
The English pint that's like straight up and then it has that bump. And then straight up, yeah.
Like a ferment. Well, the other ones have like a ferment, like a almost like a edge.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I like these glasses. You know these glasses, the British pint is... The British pint glass is typically 20 ounces.
Nice.
Lucky them.
Fuckers.
I love that.
Yeah.
So let me tell you guys a little something about British Pales. The hops run in continuum from earthy to herbal to spicy. Occasionally brewed with lighteners like sugar and corn. They're often lighter bodied and more dry. That's a typical style. And thinking about this one is American brewers came with like the herbal spicy. And they kind of did more barley, and it was more crisp. These are the styles that they tried with the English styles. So this one, I like the malt characteristic, the sweetness of the malt characteristic on this one.
Yeah.
But I get some astringency at the very end.
Do you really?
I do.
I think that just, to me, I would say that's like where it gets crisp. It's kind of crisp at the end.
I can definitely taste the crisp. I'm not getting a whole lot of the dry aspect. I mean, it definitely leaves a little bit on the tongue.
Really?
For me, it does.
See, I get like sweetness, and then it kind of dries up fairly easily.
But for me, that dry up, it has a stinkiness to it, like a gross funk to it.
Oh.
Like, because it's old. This is probably canned in October, I believe.
Yeah, October.
So this is still, I mean, didn't do it justice, and I think this would be in the head. There's no head on this one. When we poured it, it didn't have any attenuation from that at all. I don't
definitely know. Get the spice. I like that.
It's got the hot spice.
Yeah, it's like herbal and spicy.
Well, that's the category though, and I think they nailed that. And I would love this fresh. I keep saying that with every beer, but anyway, I would like to ask Dini, have you ever thought about homebrewing?
I have actually. I've thought about it for a little bit now, and I don't know if I'm. I don't know how much talent goes into it, or I know there's a lot of science. There's a lot of words that are being thrown around. I'm just like, oh, yeah, okay. But I've definitely thought about it before, and I've always thought it would be kind of a cool aspect to do. I mean, there's a big community thing with, I think community, especially in Utah, where a lot of people kind of get together and have that society of homebrew, and they can kind of bounce ideas off each other and things like that, where you can learn and grow as... I mean, every brewer I've ever seen or talked to, they love to share their knowledge with you.
Yeah. I mean, especially in this community.
Yeah, especially your guys' podcast. Let's take that for example.
Yeah, thank you.
They love trying to help the other person out. I mean, the brewing world, they're mostly friends. They get along with each other. They, you know, there's collabs that I always see. I mean, like you mentioned, Proper has 30 handles.
I think so, yeah.
That's a lot of other breweries that probably have their
really
stuff
cool.
on there.
Yeah, and they're probably, you know, supporting other brewers, and that's a cool aspect. One of my favorite comments was from Chad Hopkins on this podcast, and we asked him, like, any advice for homebrewers, and he just said, just try. Like, ask all the questions. Just keep going. And that was really cool.
That's, like, such a big, like, such solid general life advice. Like, just, if there's something you want to do,
I like that.
Just try. Like, just try. And I don't know about you guys, but, like, things in my life that, like, haven't worked out, it's because I didn't try. Like, if you want to be a home brewer, if you want to brew your own beer, or you want to try jumping into craft beer, but you're kind of nervous, just try. Just try. Just, like, put the effort in and try. And
I think to add along that way is, and it's really a hard one for me personally to swallow, is be okay with failure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're going to fail, and it sounds super cliche, but fail hard.
Yeah.
Because that's how you learn. You only learn from your failures.
Yeah.
You can have all the success in your world, you know, just straight up success, and you would be like, what am I? I'm perfect.
How am I supposed to grow?
Exactly. And so I think, Dini, if you're going to try homebrewing, I think just bite the bullet, talk to the people you know, talk to, you know, us and brewers, we'll hook you up, and I think you should try it.
Just
go
try.
For it, dude.
Just try.
Okay.
We can start dropping all the cheesy quotes, like how many times, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, right? Let me just double check my fact.
Yeah.
He did.
Like, when it asked how he invented the light bulb or something like that, he was like, well, really, it was just 999 failures, and then one time I happened to get it right.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
just try.
That's a good thing about, because we homebrewed last week.
Don't let your dreams be dreams.
And the thing about our first homebrew, we did that on Monday or Tuesday, our homebrew went really well. You know, we'd bring a specific L, and it just sexy, really cool. The second one we tried was a little experiment, and it failed. You know, and that's the thing, like, we had to dump it. And that was unfortunate, but we learned from it.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right. There you go. Keep going.
You should write a book.
But
maybe fortune cookies.
I was going to ask, Dini, what's your favorite, especially, you know, listen, I know you listen to this podcast a lot, and we do appreciate your support. Favorite beer that you, craft beer that you, to this day, favorite craft beer that either we've shown you, I've shown you, Wyatt's shown you, you found favorite craft beer that sometimes you just find yourself craving.
Okay. I do love Plimy Porter. The last time I was on this podcast, you showed me a breakfast stout.
Founder's breakfast stout.
Founder's breakfast stout. And at the time, I was like, oh, yeah, this is really good. I really like this. And then we went on to try some Epic beers and some things like that. And I really enjoyed the Epic beers. But I found myself at the liquor store, and I went back, and I tried. I was like, oh, I'm just going to grab. I remember us talking about this beer and me really enjoying the Founder's stout. So I'm going to grab, like, you know, four or five of them, just have them in my fridge, and I'll give them another try. Went home a little bit more, like, quiet, just chilling at the end of the night. Pulled one, popped one open, and just kind of, you know, sat there and sipped on it for a little while. And I was like, wow, this is a very good beer. Like, it was very calming. It's a coffee stout, but at the same time, I drink coffee any part of the day that I can find just because I enjoy coffee so much. But that was a very big eye-opener for me, taking that, like, oh, you know, I tried this at one point, and I'm going to give it another chance. Not saying that I didn't like it the first time, but going back and seeing, oh, this different aspect of things, this different area that I'm in, and just being by myself, taking a chill and relaxing, I am enjoying this beer so much more.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And it was like, oh, you know, you shouldn't just give. I mean, when I first started drinking, I didn't like IPAs, and I'm still not the biggest fan, but I found a lot of pale ales and IPAs that I can really enjoy. And I think that's like what your guys' phrase that you always coin, knowing is half the battle, or
Well, your knowledge expands. Oh, shit, I don't even know.
When knowledge increases, behavior changes.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's helped me a lot, is trying something and looking for those.
And that's really cool.
Additional notes and
that's
flavors.
That's really cool, because it wasn't just two guys hyping a beer up here talking to you on a podcast. Like, you got to go outside that scenario and enjoy it at home. That's really cool. It's really cool you had that. And hopefully you can find more beers, not just that coffee style, but you can find more that can do that as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm still trying to fish through IPAs that I really enjoy and really love. And even like all the styles and all the things with homebrewing, it's kind of a shot in the dark. So you just really have to do what you can when you can to learn from it and enjoy it, because there's a lot of craft behind it and there's a lot of people doing really cool things with beer nowadays. And there's always something new to try.
What's a style of beer that you really want to try to like, or try to find one that you could enjoy?
I'm not a huge fan of smoky aspects. I don't know why.
Rausch beers.
yeah, like Hellas's and things like that, I don't really love smoky flavors, okay. which is weird. I think because I worked for a smoke restaurant. I'm trying to think of the word. I'm like skipping me. But I worked for a place that would smoke all their own meat, and like the smell, it like haunts my dreams. Cleaning out gotcha. A smoker, it like haunts my memories. Damn. So anything super smoky, I cannot put up with.
I have dreams about smoky meats, but it's definitely not nightmares.
Oh, no. If you ever clean out like a smoker that's like been sitting there for a while, it's not a pleasant smell.
Huh.
That does not sound fun at all.
Like an industrial size.
An industrial size.
Like tall as me.
Wow.
Yeah.
You use like a pressure washer or what do you?
Sometimes you have to use your hands and a chisel, but you know, depends on how much the buildup is because that's where you get your flavor from.
Yeah.
And then, Dini, what's your favorite brewery in Utah? Craft brewery.
Craft brewery. Well, I've been trying a lot more Epic lately. That's one I have been trying. I had some on your podcasts. I've been trying. Ooh, there's a lot of them. I've been trying to branch out more. I've having some Shades recently. I've been having some. What's the last beer that we tried together?
Epics.
It was Epic?
Yeah, we had the Epic Big Bad Baptista, and then we had the Epics. Was it the pecan pie?
I don't think we did the pecan pie. We just had a few.
Oh, it was the pumpkin stout.
Yeah.
We had the Imperial and the pumpkin.
That's what it was.
And it was just too much pumpkin for us.
It was a lot of spice.
But for the actual pumpkin was good. Like Wyatt and I broke that one down, but yeah. The Imperial was.
It was a lot of nutmeg.
It was a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
Not bad. Just it was too much for me. It's one of those kind of like a sipping, try it out, throw it away kind of thing.
I think we like poured it. Them together and then like
heaved
each other out.
We did combine it. Like yeah. We kind of took the hella spicy of the Imperial and put it into the regular pumpkin stout and mixed the two. And was like, oh, it's not bad, but.
I think it's fun to play with like mixing beers. You know? I don't normally like think to myself like, I would love a combination of these three beers. A
little mixology of it.
But like just kind of playing around. If you got them in front of you, I somehow always end up mixing stuff together just to.
I think the Golden Ale would make a nice black and tan.
I think it would. Oh, yeah.
I really think so. But I'm glad, I mean, you guys enjoy this one. We're going to go into our almost news and other stuff. So Wyatt and I have been doing this thing where we have news for you, almost news. So I have one for you guys. Deschutes Brewery has announced 2021 beer release calendar. So they're going to have their limited releases throughout the year, and they're going to tell you when these certain releases come out. So they have like their lighter ones coming out in the fall, summertime, and they have their darker ones coming out in the late fall, winter time. It's really cool. It's really cool because I know a lot of friends are fans of Deschutes, and we love Deschutes. I like Deschutes a lot. Yeah. But you can go year round and you can see what beers will be available and when they're going to release certain beers.
Yeah.
Really cool, though.
Nice. That's cool.
Deschutes.
That seems handy. I like that.
Yeah. I think when you're well known, you kind of like, when's this beer coming out? Instead of keeping people in the guessing, just kind of release it. Hey, this is what's going to happen. Period.
Yeah. That's cool. It'd be cool to see like an app of like beer calendar and it just has like beers in your area.
Like
that are
released. Or release alert almost. Yeah. As long as it's not every week. No, but Dini, going off this one, is proper something you guys would drink again?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Oh good. What's something that you would like to come back on and drink with us? Is there a type of beer, a type of brewery or a style that you would really like to try?
Style, one thing that I've always interested me is the flavorations of beer. So there's a lot of beers out there that like say, well, this is the kind of fruit we used and this is how we'd try it. So it's one of those heavy fruited beers that I've always wanted to actually go out and see how well somebody can adapt a fruit to the actual beer. There's a lot that we've tried. There was a Hefeweizen that we tried a while ago that we were both kind of on the fence on, the blueberry Hef, where you could get it in the nose, but there wasn't a lot of taste for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So really the brewery itself or the style, I don't really have too much opinion about that. Like, yeah, sitting here and trying all these propers are fantastic. But one thing that's always kind of wanted to go in depth more is figuring out how people are taking all these like, well-known flavors and how well they apply to the brewing aspect.
Yeah, it's tricky to do like fresh fruit and then like extract.
Yeah.
Because if you do fresh fruit, you can cause a secondary fermentation.
Yeah.
And then if you put juice in it, it's like, now you have like a time-ticking bomb and just about to blow up in a can or a growler or what have you. So, I mean, there's a couple of breweries that just make juice and beer.
Yeah.
And they have problems with kind of implosions. And so I'm curious because, like, you're talking about those hefts. It's nice to have kind of fruited hefts here and there.
Yeah. You would have to, like, pasteurize the beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's also...
homogen? No, that's where they mix the cream and stuff, right? Pasteurized beer.
I'm trying to remember. There was the beer, just recently, there was the peppermint beer that we tasted, and that was only extract compared to the real thing. Mm-hmm. That was pure extract compared to actually brewing with those fruits and stuff.
Yeah.
And I know, going back to a while ago, you had a brewmaster, Sean, on, and he had that... smoothie beer where he used just fresh fruits.
Oh yeah, the Gixxer.
Smoothie sour,
the
Gixxer, yeah.
And that's an interesting style that I've always been wanting to learn more about is how we do fresh fruit into
that's
beer.
Good to know. So next time Wyatt and I find somewhere we want to talk about it, we'll be sure to bring you on because that's something that I think Wyatt and I could use more information on and knowledge on.
Yeah.
Because it's very interesting. It's fascinating, I think. And like getting the right fruit and like getting that flavor, whatever flavor note you want to come out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
David, as a what would you call your official title now? Like apprentice brewer? Brewer's apprentice?
According to the brew master I work under, he calls me ass brewer. So
ass brewer.
Yeah, so it could be like, you know, the assistant to the brewer, you know, formerly known as the assistant or the assistant brewer. But basically I'm, as of right now, I'm becoming...
Assistant to the brewmaster.
Yeah, assistant to the brewmaster. But I'm becoming a brewer.
Cool.
But I'm still in, like, I'm learning the rails, but it's been super fun.
In the beginning stages.
Yeah.
Well, that happened because you tried, right?
Yeah.
First of all, just go back to that previous conversation. But what's your opinion on, like, so we talked a little bit about wild ales earlier. Like, one time I made a cider, we just used, like, wild ale from the skin of the apple. So, like, we would just crush apples, mix them together, and that had the wild yeast, right? What's your thought on making like a fruited beer and instead of pitching yeast, just throwing in a bunch, like let's say you want to make like a raspberry, whatever ale, I don't care, raspberry golden ale. And so you just take a bunch of raspberries and you can blend them up if you want, but you just dump them in there because they have a yeast on them. They have that wild yeast that's going to ferment the beer. Right. Well, what would you think about that? Was that something you would try or would you?
I would try at home. I would never try at the brewery because I would never want to bring a wild yeast strain anywhere close to any of my equipment to ruin. To me, it's just kind of a time bomb waiting to go off.
Danger.
Because you don't know when you have an infection if you have an infection. And then you could become a brewer that does nothing but sour beers.
Until
you know,
3 weeks later when you're...
Yeah, and everything's funky. And sour. Yeah, exactly. And so I would... Because Chad, he does his Zinfandel grapes. You know, he does stuff for his oranges. Yeah. Apples. You know, like I would love to use fruit, but I think I need to master... home brewing and figure that out and then kind of delve into that. But I'd love to do fruit because ciders would be cool too.
It seems like if you want to do wild yeast beers, maybe like the thing you need to master most is cleaning, right?
Or just it in one area, like, you know, consolidate that one area to be just sours or just wild strains. Because wild yeasts can be, you got Brettanomyces and lactobacillin, it's
pediococcus.
You got stuff that can be kind of sketch. And I mean, they'll ferment great. Don't get me wrong. Like, they do awesome things, but then... Yeah. You got to be careful of what they touch. And so my biggest fear right now is Brettanomyces. But from what I've read and what I know, and especially from the brewmaster I'm learning under, Brettanomyces can be one of the coolest strains ever if you know how to do it right.
It's really weird that yeast is literally everywhere and you don't notice until you have to start drinking beer.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, I mean, Wyatt's been cooking with it for years now and we drink it, but yeast is fascinating.
Yeah. You never had toasted yeast?
Like toast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean.
No, but Dean, thank you so much for coming on this episode. We do appreciate you taking time out of your day to come here.
Of course.
But is there anything you have for us, Wyatt?
I'm done. That's it. That's all I have.
Well, thanks,
toast
guys.
To yeast. That's what I'm ending on. That's right.
Well, toast to you, too.
Until the next beverage, bros.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.